Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Michael Colgan as my special expert guest. Dr. Colgan is one of the world's most popular scientific experts in nutrition. He is a best-selling author and travels the world lecturing on topics related to anti-aging, sports nutrition, human performance, and hormonal health. Dr. Colgan has a distinguished reputation for expertise in sports nutrition science and functional fitness, and is an advisor to hundreds of elite athletes all over the world. His many books include Prevent Cancer Now, Optimum Sports Nutrition, The New Nutrition, Hormonal Health, Your Personal Vitamin Profile, The New Power Program, and his latest release, The Sports Nutrition Guide, Minerals, Vitamins, and Antioxidants for Athletes. Dr. Colgan is a recipient of the CHFA Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame Award, and his texts and research are utilized extensively in the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program. Hi, Michael. Welcome to SNU. It's great to have you back to help celebrate our third anniversary.
Gosh, time flies, Corey. Great to be back. But it's amazing to think it's 3 years.
I remember when we did our first interview at the Pan Pacific at a CHFA expo to get this ball rolling, and here we are again. And I know that each time I've given a CD to anybody with your interview on it, they've always replied and said, "Who is that guy? What a wealth of information."
Well, things are changing pretty fast in science, that's for sure.
Now, I wanted to talk about what you do on Salt Spring, because not everyone knows about your seminars, your intensives that you offer, and I think that it's important because you offer such a wide variety. You've got your power program, you've got your certification, you've got your anti-aging intensive. So I'm just wondering if you might be able to go into detail on what you offer and what's going on over there.
Sure. Well, the anti-aging seminar has been running since 1996. People come from all over the world who are interested in inhibiting aging. And it seems to be pretty successful in that we don't advertise much and we get full camps by word of mouth. We can't take more than about 50 people, so that limits what we do, because otherwise we can't give each one personal attention.
What kinds of people come to these camps, the anti-aging camps?
Everything from world leaders, members of Congress, members of the Canadian government, people whose brain and whose body has to function well in their job, and they are sensible enough, intelligent enough, and educated enough to know that science can do that now. It can postpone aging.
So what kinds of things would you talk about or offer to these people that come to the anti-aging camp?
We have lectures on every aspect of aging you can think of. We dispel a lot of the myths. I mean, there are many, for instance, single supposed fountains of youth supplements sold on the internet. There are all sorts of half-pie approaches to aging that don't work at all because the books and the stuff on the internet is written so as to convince the public. The public is largely sick and sedentary. So, for instance, you can't really write and preach about the necessity of exercise in order for the body to absorb and utilize the nutrients you give it, because most people don't exercise. So, therefore, books, etc., that come out, if you write a chapter or anything on exercise, the publishers are always saying, "Oh, I don't know, you know, the people don't like that." And that's a sad thing, that people are still not convinced. They still don't understand that if you do not exercise, it's simple as this. You sit like a slug, you grow like a slug.
So the nature of exercise, when it's controlled and designed correctly, it's a form of medicine, isn't it?
It is. If people realize the power of exercise is more powerful in healing the body than any drug, any operation, anything that is done in conventional medicine. Anything.
So why isn't it recommended or pushed more in medicine then?
Well, the sad truth of it, Corey, is a very large number, probably the majority, of physicians are unfit themselves. Now, I must say that's more the old guard. Younger physicians that I see today when I give lectures to them tend to have absorbed the knowledge and the evidence of the essentiality of exercise and tend to do a lot better job looking after themselves.
So that's a good thing. So we're moving forward.
That's a great thing, yes.
Now, when someone says, okay, anti-aging, that doesn't make sense to me. How can you stop your body from aging because every day passes by and I'm one day older? So what does that mean, anti-aging?
Well, let me put it this way, Corey. The cells of a 75-year-old man are exactly the same age as the cells of a 25-year-old man because all those cells are turned over at least once a year. Consequently, the difference in performance and health of a 75-year-old man relates to the damage done to the cellular process during his years. That's what people don't understand. The cells are exactly the same age.
That is incredible. That is a great way to really comprehend. So that turnover in the body is something that's constantly happening, isn't it?
Right. We turn over something like 2 billion cells a day. In fact, athletes in hard training turn over 5 billion cells a day. Unless you give your body the exact nutrients it needs to replace those cells in an optimal way, then they gradually degenerate.
So there's the connection to nutrition then, too.
Of course, yes. You've got to put in every essential nutrient every day.
And if you don't, then you build cells that are less than ideal, and
right,
that's when you...
Right, and then they're copied again in the next building and the next building, and gradually the errors set in.
So when you say copy, then that's the connection where the genetics come into play.
Yes. A faulty cell will remake itself faulty.
So
when it divides, it takes the faults, half the faults with it. So the cell it divides into is not a clean cell anymore. It's a damaged cell. And more we study about aging, we realize it's a matter of damage. It's amazing the blind spots that people have about aging. They do, you know, it took till 1996 for people at the University of Texas and Michael West especially was involved in for the production of immortal cells that are now used in labs all over the world. The majority of people don't even know about those cells. But we knew before that, long before that, although it was a blind spot in many people's thinking, that the germ cell from which you and I grew, which came from our parents and from their parents and from their parents, that cell is continuous. It is immortal. So the cells that were passed on from your parents to make you were the cells that were passed on to them from their parents to make them. Still the same living force in those cells, even though every constituent of the cell has been renewed. So the germ cell for the human organism is immortal. And therefore, we know now pretty much for sure that every aspect of aging that we measure is a matter of damage.
So you're teaching people how to minimize damage.
That's exactly what we do.
And also how to maximize or create an environment that is ideal for those cells to live and survive in.
Yes, and that's another thing. That's why I get so many elite athletes coming to Salt Spring, you know, many world champions, because they have never been taught this. They have never really understood it. And once the intelligent ones at least grasp the idea, they're here to see me in a flash. Because it's a matter of providing the environment, both nutritional and exterior, and the exercise environment, which allows your cells to develop optimally.
That's fantastic. That's something that we really got to hold on to and focus on. Now, the anti-aging camp, number two, the power program camp, what's going on there?
Yeah, well, as you know, I started the power program some 12 to 15 years ago with Olympic athletes, and it's developed since then to the extent that I brought out the book at the request of coaches and trainers in 2000, I think. Now We've had many more requests for the more advanced parts of the program. It's a four-year progressive. Power training is very different from ordinary weight training in that it is, our program is 4 years of progressive work. So you get progressive exercises that become more and more difficult over a period of 4 years and morph into full body dynamic exercises. So we then had to produce trainers that could train people to do it, because all over the world we got requests like from the Power Program book for more information. And so we developed a three-year certification program for trainers, and we now have 59 trainers that are certified, and we've got another 25 coming this year.
That's fantastic. Now, if somebody wants to go to the camp and they're not really interested in being certified, can they also do that too, just learn?
That's where we get the athletes. And we have them here from anything from 4 days to several weeks. They're interested, of course, in getting that little extra 0.5% on their performance, which makes the difference between winning a gold medal and being an also-ran. That's one of the most exciting things. And for the people who come for certification, it's exciting for them too, because they see world-class athletes in action. I mean, close up, one-on-one, personal. And that's hard to do.
And I have found personally that to be incredibly motivating. Anytime I visited with you at your clinics and camps, the energy, it's like sparks of electricity flying in the room.
It is. It's a very exciting time at every year that we do it, which runs for about 6 weeks altogether, and at the end of it we're totally exhausted and say, we'll never do this again.
But every year it flips over again. The demand is so strong.
We've got a big enrollment this year.
I guess the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few.
Yes, it's wonderful, really. It's just, it's very, very intensive.
So somebody that has a grandmother or maybe a parent who's struggling with health, who needs to learn about how to take care of their body, your anti-aging camp would be excellent. It would be like a gift to give somebody, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, we have several old people who have recovered from very serious illnesses. With, for instance, one professor of education who came first in a wheelchair, and she comes back every year, and now she's walking, and it's remarkable what people can do.
Well, I know that you have a special birthday coming up, Michael, but you're not old, are you?
No, I hope not, Corey. Yes, I was coming up to my 65th.
Yeah, and we were just lecturing together, and there you were on the floor again doing your one-handed push-ups, and it's amazing what you can do on a personal level if you maintain these principles that you teach.
Well, you're an example too, Corey. I mean, I can't believe still that you won an overall bodybuilding championship when you entered for the Masters, and you won against all the young guys. That's amazing.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I think what I've got from you, too, also, is that, you know, life is a sport. You don't play to win, necessarily, but you play for fun.
Yes.
And because if you play to win, you tend to maybe sabotage yourself or other people in the process.
You do. Yeah.
And there's a philosophy about what it is that you're doing, isn't there?
There is, and it's really the philosophy of the quiet mind. I am a very strong believer in karma. It's not I think that there's some ethereal spirit out there is going to come back and whack you in the back of the head. But anything that you do in your life that you cannot stand up and be proud of lives inside you forever. Forever and ever and ever. And so you should be really careful what you do. I mean, if you do things with love and compassion for everybody, then that's the body that you will build. And if you do things in hatred and anger, then that's the body you will build, a body full of disease.
So you don't just get into the physical aspects of training and nutrition. You get into the mindset and the whole psychology of living at these camps.
Oh, yes. I mean, if you think, just think for one moment, the majority now of the American population are grossly overweight. And the largest single variable in all that is eating for emotional satisfaction. Their emotions are disordered, so they eat for comfort. And that's something that's programmed into us. A genetic program is such that we find food satisfying, because back there in evolution, when we stood up and started becoming man-like, the food was not that plentiful. So every time we got it, it was a bonus. But now we utilize the emotional comfort of food, and it makes people grossly fat.
Now, that struggle that we see that people have with food and controlling their appetite, how do we overcome that? Is it a function of one thing, or is it a multifaceted issue?
Well, it is multifaceted. The biggest problem is, first, that overweight is the largest single illness in Western society. It is an illness. It is not a healthy state of the body. It leads to many diseases and what is called the chaos complex, including many, many cancers. In fact, overweight is second only to smoking in terms of the number of cancers it causes. About one quarter of all cancers are caused simply by being overweight. And that's terribly sad, because the medical community have abdicated their responsibility for the biggest illness that occurs in Western society. They leave the control of body fat to ignorant entrepreneurs whose schemes, such as the very unhealthy Atkins diet, are so blatantly false. They're just such a blatant con that they would have P.T. Barnum blushing. They do not address the real reasons that people get fat, and they do not provide any solutions. They provide a system whereby the person can accept that they're fatter than normal, get rid of a bit of weight temporarily, and then put it back on so that next spring that they can come back and do it again. And if I was in the industry to produce customers, then that's exactly what I would do. You know, Corey, I have never written a diet book, and three publishers have offered me contracts, quite lucrative contracts, to write a diet book. But I refuse, because the diet book they want is something that will allow people to lose weight quickly, even though it's temporary and bad for their health.
Now, we came up with an acronym for Diet Discipline in Energy Transfer.
That's good.
So how much of a role does discipline play? I mean, people say, well, you're not disciplined. But then there are people that seem to have the discipline, and they're working out in the gym, but they're not losing the body fat down to the levels.
Because they don't understand the basic things. What we teach in our camps is pretty simple. But first of all, you put on body fat because of a decline in your energy-making machinery, a decline in the mitochondria. Whatever you do, if you can't inhibit that decline in the mitochondria of your cells, then your body cannot process the food for energy. And between 20 and 60, the average person loses half their mitochondrial energy potential. Consequently, they're only half as good at producing energy from food. So the rest of the food has to go somewhere, and the body turns it into triglycerides and puts it everywhere it can think of. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we have a hormone cascade all our lives. That hormone cascade gradually declines because of damage. In women, it's more obvious because they have the menopause, the great damage caused to their body by having to bear the children, and the results of that in perimenopause and menopause. And the three things happen. First of all, the hormone cascade declines, so that the body finds it very difficult to maintain its muscle. Second, the insulin mechanism declines, so that the body can no longer handle carbohydrates and turn them into energy. So you've got a double whammy. You've got the ATP system not working to produce the energy, and you've got the insulin system not working to turn the food into a state suitable to be used for energy. It's pretty sad. Those are the big factors in putting on a fat. They are the only reason for middle age spread, where the person does not change their eating habits. That's what happens. those two things happen, and the body puts on fat. It's easy to prevent.
If you let yourself go then for a long time, there's a lot of damage that can occur. So it is tough to get started if you're 40 or 50 and haven't done anything for a long time.
The start is always tough because the body has had the fat around for quite a while and considers it to be self. And anything that attacks self is rejected. So it's got you, it identifies the fat cells as belonging to it. But there's another whole aspect to this that is not even thought of by the so-called diet industry, and that is that the fat cell is not merely a repository for fat. The adipose cell is an endocrine organ. The adipose cell puts out its own hormonal messengers, and so you have to defeat that too. It's a tough job, but as I say, it's easy to prevent. Once you get people started on the right road, it's pretty easy for them to steadily lose weight.
Provided they stay on track, and that is where I guess some discipline comes in that
right.
You
well,
have to choose to do it.
That's where the emotional problems come in. I mean, as I said, one of the biggest reasons for getting fat is the emotional problems that people have finding food comforting. And there's another aspect to that, too. And I've said this before, with devilish cunning and monumental ignorance, the food industry has extracted from nutritious foods all the sights and smells and tastes that we are genetically programmed to find attractive, and then puts those sights and tastes and smells into usually processed carbohydrates with no nutritional value whatsoever.
Sounds like a gigantic setup to me.
Well, it is. It's a way of selling useless carbohydrate, mainly made of grains, processed grains. And they're made of processed grains for one reason. Because you can, once you process all the nutrition out of a grain, it will last for many years. You can take a Hostess Twinkie and sit it on your windowsill, and all it will do is get harder and smaller as the water dries out. It won't go bad. There's nothing to go bad in it.
There's a rule in natural medicine. You're supposed to eat foods that spoil, but
That's
eat
right.
them before they spoil.
Good food is food that goes bad because it's biologically active. If you don't eat biologically active material, then your body is condemned. And because what happens is the insulin mechanisms get less and less efficient. So you are condemned to put on body fat. But it's even worse than that. If you don't eat biologically active food, then it lacks the signals that tell the system that it can use them as fuel. I mean, it seems pretty... these things are obvious in science, but I have yet to see one diet that even addresses them.
Now, what about this carb revolution that's going on? What's your take on that?
Well, you might say it's a step in the right direction. The basic problem with diets like the Atkins is, although in his last years before he died, very overweight, by the way, he did advocate good, healthy fats. But for a long time, he advocated virtually any fat at all. And we know what those do. I mean, you've only got to look up the recommendations of the American Medical Association about trans fats and about saturated fats. It's obvious. So there's absolutely no way the body can handle high fats like that and remain healthy. So what do you eat? Do you eat high protein? Because if you eat too much protein, then you get the protein residues, the protein breakdown residues causing trouble in your body. So you've got to have a diet that has some carbohydrates in it. The problem with most people is they don't eat the right carbohydrates. If you follow my old friend Sam Gracie, always says, color your plate, and that's the truth. You put as many different kinds of vegetables on your plate as you can think of, and preferably organically grown and raw. then you get all the right signals, all the right messages, all the right enzymes into your system to make it work. The enzymes it evolved with. People don't realize, Corey, that if you take a processed carbohydrate such as white bread or enriched flour bread, the body has no mechanisms to signal that that is food because it was never there when we evolved. The body can only respond to complexes that were there when it evolved because that's the machinery it built. And yet these things are not even talked about. It's the whole diet industry is laughable.
Aren't these refined carbohydrates drug-like in their nature? Isn't it almost like a form of drug addiction?
Well, what happens is because it's less and less efficiently used, people eat more and more of it for the taste and the smell. And, you know, if it's sweet and savory or sour or salt, our bodies were programmed to find those tastes agreeable. But then the stuff goes in and nothing happens to it. It sits like sludge. If anything, it becomes a detriment, a health risk to the body. But in terms of a drug-like effect, the drug-like effect of these things, for instance, the sweet taste, is to stimulate the hypothalamus of the brain because it's programmed right in there. So you can get an addiction to sweet tastes, yes. You can get an addiction to salt tastes or even savory tastes or even fatty tastes because the body was programmed by evolution to find them satisfying. Once the stuff gets in there, the body can't do anything with it.
So that the natural idea then would be to consume whole, fibrous, I guess low glycemic grains if you're going to eat grains, but what you're suggesting is that the high water volume plants, the fresh raw plants, are a much better alternative
much
in terms of volume.
Alternative. Good Lord. I mean, people come up to me every day and they say, I can't believe how good your skin looks. What do you do to it? I don't do anything to my skin. Skin grows from the inside. And it's because I eat high water volume plants as a major part of my diet. I eat very little processed carbohydrate, even whole grains, very little. The body only started to really eat grains around about 10,000 years ago when the first agriculture started. Before that, it was very much a system that lived on vegetables and occasional meats that they caught. That's the body we've got. That's the genetic plan we've got. There's 10,000 years. There's no time for it to be changing.
So if we look back in time, we see the consumption is high of these fresh plants that that we should eat more. Now, the meat that was being eaten at that time, there's a big difference between what they were eating then and what we have now, isn't there?
Of course. The animal grotesques, Corey, that we breed for the bulk of our meat are disgusting. They're disgusting. I mean, the majority of chickens, it should have a label on the packet saying, inside this packet lies the body of a small, tortured, ill-fed bird.
So fish then, like halibut, we had some the other day. Halibut's a wild living creature from
right.
The sea, so it's not penned up.
Entirely different. The meat is quite different. We've examined this in the laboratory. The omega fats, for example, from farmed salmon are distorted. I would say that farmed salmon or farmed fish is a health risk. Wild fish is the way to go. Now, people say, oh, but I can't get wild fish. Believe me, in my books, I say, if you want to live a long and healthy life, then you will put yourself in an environment where you can get the right stuff. And I know it's tough, it's difficult. I had my business in San Diego, and when that became terribly polluted in the last 10 years, I moved to Salt Spring Island in British Columbia, expecting our whole business to collapse. Fortunately, it didn't. But I tell you, I pay my managers in San Diego very well because I know that they are under a health stress just to live there.
So you chose where you live right now based on the environment.
I chose it based on the water, the food, the idyllic environment. And even it's, of course, not totally pure, but at least we eat organic vegetables. We grow our own organic vegetables. We have our own chickens, and it's a superb, quiet, non-stressed environment.
Yeah, and for our listeners, I've been to Michael's place on the island. It's just absolutely the perfect setting for his camps, and I really want to encourage everyone out there to look at these seminars, maybe not now, but maybe sometime in the future. Be good to yourself. Get out there and expose yourself to everything that Michael has to offer. Now, our time is gone, unfortunately. I love talking with you, Michael. You always have such rich, meaningful things to say. And I know that everyone else out there is really feeding on this like a good quality mental protein. But before you leave, I just want to ask you how our listeners can get more information about your books, your seminars. How do they get to you, and how do they sign up for these camps?
Oh, sure. Well, our number here is 250-653-2073. And my wonderful secretary, Marion, will deal with all their requests. Or they can look at our website at www.colganinstitute.com. or www.colganseminars.com.
Good stuff. So get to the website and all the details are there. Michael, thanks so much for being my special guest. Your presence always is a treat for me. For my own particular edification, I'm just wondering if you wouldn't mind leaving us with a word or two of your style of inspiration.
If you go about your health piecemeal, by throwing a few pills in your mouth, or by only going to the doctor or something like that when you're sick, then you better reserve a lot of time for illness, because that's where you're going to be. The body and the human mind are one single integrated unit. And if you're going to work on your body, then you have to train it, you have to feed it, and you have to do exactly the same with your mind. If you leave your mind out of the equation, you will fail. But if you put body and mind together, you will succeed.
Thanks very much, Michael. Really a nice touching sentiment to bring our third anniversary edition to a conclusion, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Great. Bye-bye, Corey.
Take care, Michael.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.